Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. There's been another fatal aircraft accident in the interior. Alaska State Troopers report that 67-year-old Carl David Oberg was killed when a Regal Air Service Cessna 206 he was piloting went down in the Alaska Range near Rainy Pass yesterday. Troopers say Oberg was the only person aboard the plane, which crashed before 6 last night and was located by the Alaska Rescue Coordination Center. They say a recovery team flew Oberg's body to Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson in Anchorage for transfer to the state medical examiner. Warmer than normal temperatures are expected across Alaska next month. National Weather Service Climate Science and Services Manager Rick Toman says that's the October outlook from the agency's Climate Prediction Center.
All of the state, better than 50% chance for significantly warmer for the month as a whole. Doesn't mean every day is going to be warm, but a very strong forecast from the Climate Prediction Center for all of Alaska in October.
Toman says the probability is especially high for the state's northwestern coastal region.
Better than 80% chance that temperatures will wind up much above normal. And that is the first time ever that the Climate Prediction Center has used probabilities that high anywhere in the United States.
Toman says the forecast and level of confidence are related to ocean conditions.
The dramatic loss of sea ice in the Chukchi and Beaufort Seas over the last few years compared to the historical period. Also, sea surface temperatures in the Bering and Chukchi Sea are extremely warm again this year, even warmer than last year.
Toman says the ice went out so early last spring, especially in the Chukchi Sea, that there was a month or more of solar warming than normal. While there are direct effects for coastal communities, Toman says areas far from the sea, deep in the state's interior, can also be impacted this fall.
That warmer water allows for more moisture to be available in the atmosphere. So if the storms come along, they can take advantage of that additional moisture coming up off of the sea surface, potentially bring more precipitation. Of course, in October in interior Alaska, that could be snow.
Toman also points to another factor in play, the forecast of an El Nino, which historically have made the interior warmer than normal. In the near term, the forecast is for wet weather to be pushed out of the interior. Weather Service meteorologist Jim Brader says the region is forecast to transition from clouds and rain to clear skies.
Looking for a high-pressure ridge, which is over the Eastern Pacific and Gulf of Alaska, to build over the interior of Alaska from Wednesday into the weekend. And it looks like it's going to be a pretty strong high-pressure ridge.
Brader says the clear skies will bring daytime high temperatures in the 50s with freezing lows overnight. Hotel owners and hospitality workers crowded the Fairbanks City Council chambers last night to comment on a proposed increase in the city's bed tax. KUAC's Robin reports.
Chief of Staff Mike Meeks summarized the city's tax structure for the council at Monday night's meeting, explaining that citizens voted down a property tax increase last year, yet expect more services. And there are fewer city employees to provide those services. Meeks said in 2012, there were 195 full-time equivalent city workers. 5 years later, there were 176.
What we've done is cut, cut, and cut. At the same time we're cutting employees, everybody wants more service. They want it quicker. They want it expanded. We want snow removal faster. We want all the potholes done as soon as they show up. And so we've been growing the mission and shrinking the workforce.
Mayor Jim Matherly told the council the city provides services to more than just its 30,000 residents. There are workers that come in every day from outside the city limits, as well as tourists who use the roads and emergency services. He says his duty to look for more revenue sources had him considering Anchorage's 12% bed tax and sought to raise the Fairbanks bed tax 4% from the current 8%.
I did talk to some folks in the industry, and they didn't think that 50% increase all at one time was very doable or very fair. I listened. I agree. That's why I brought it down to a 1.5% start.
Matherly's plan was to go from the current 8% to 9.5% in January, then 10% a year later, and 10.5% a year after that. Further, he proposed changing the formula to allow the new revenue to be used not just for tourism marketing, but for city services. But many folks from the industry came last night to tell the council they think it will harm Fairbanks as a destination. Lloyd Husky is the manager of Candlewood Suites.
It may seem like a small amount, but money does drive decisions, and every little bit will make us less competitive with other markets.
Jay Ramris owns Pike's Waterfront Lodge.
This community thrives on large tour operators, and we have one-night stays and two-night stays. We're talking about the large wholesale tour operators who make those decisions in Seattle boards. They will punish Fairbanks, and they'll do it by changing a tour pattern from two nights to one night.
Adriel Butler works for Aurora Expeditions, a foreign company bringing visitors from China in winter.
And being that I do compete on the worldwide market, whether it be Finland, Norway, Iceland, for travelers from Asia, a small percentage increase in hotel cost affects the bottom line rate that I have to charge to travelers.
The bed tax was originally started in 1979 with the money designated for promoting the visitor industry. Lloyd Tilgen noted the growth of tourism since that time and that it is now year-round instead of just summer. He also says more residents are staying in Fairbanks year-round.
I would be in favor of this to put that money not supposedly to the general fund, but maybe to designate it specifically for emergency services and the police.
Council member June Rogers encouraged a postponement so the city could get more information about how the tax increase might affect the visitor industry.
I don't see how we can go forward with something at this point that's going to take into consideration all of those experienced voices and come to a good conclusion tonight. I think we need to deliberate over this much, much more.
The council voted to postpone voting on the measure until the first meeting in December. By that time, the new council members voted in from the October municipal election will have filled their seats. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
The Army Corps of Engineers has proposed a project to reinforce the Chena River Lakes flood control levee and dam system that protect Fairbanks during high water events. Project manager Julie Anderson says it's aimed at addressing erosion that could threaten the earthen levee and Moose Creek Dam.
Back in 2009, after Hurricane Katrina, the Corps of Engineers went through and looked at the risk of all their dams, and Moose Creek Dam was one that they identified that might need some further study because there were some ways that the dam might not respond well if we had extreme water events.
Anderson says a subsequent study looked at ways to prevent water from eroding gravel, sand, and silt in the levee. She says the proposed solution is to cut a channel down the center of the levee and fill it with cement.
Going probably about 10 feet to 15 feet below the foundation and mixing in cement so that it forms a wall.
Anderson says the reinforcement would focus on sections of the levee surrounding the Moose Creek Dam.
It's going to be about 4.5 miles. It starts about where the borough's fee booth is, goes to the control works, and then other side of the control works all the way to the north abutment.
The estimated $120 to $150 million project is expected to take 4 years to complete. The proposal is available for public comment through October 19th. Anderson says if approved, 2.5 years of design and work to put a contract package together would follow. I'm Dan Bross.